This episode of Edible Valley is brought to you by Tanitus Farms. Listen to episode 15's guest, Alan McWilliam, for the story of Tanitus Farm. Our friends Alan and Heather have been raising grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and happy healthy pork in Dove Creek since 1974. You can find their products at Butcher's Block, Seeds Market, and at the farm Saturday mornings, plus many fine restaurants, delicious products, and great community people. We thank you ever so much for your contribution in helping to keep this local food podcast alive. Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prowse.
And I'm Jonathan Fraser. And we'd once again like to invite you to join with us on our ongoing culinary adventure touring our Edible Valley, as we like to, or as it's known, the Comox Valley.
In studio tonight, we got Hans Peter Meyer.
Hi.
Hans.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's good to have you in to collaborate a little bit with us on some things.
Yeah, you're sort of the guy who's finding out what's going on around town all the time and definitely talking about all the food that all the restaurants are involved with. So it's great to have you on just to give us a little feedback about what's going on around town. So,
thank you.
So, Blaine, I guess we want to get on to, first of all, about we were kind of down for a week. Drex was out of town, so we weren't able to get in the studio. We did put a little podcast together just talking about flavor.
Yeah.
Just something like to talk about a little bit later. But anything much happening in your life lately? Is it?
I've been doing, lots of fun things. Of course, I've been hunting, so I've gotten some venison. And last weekend, I made sausages for the first time.
Which we got to actually sample tonight as part of our
Edible Valley Test Kitchen.
Our test kitchen here, trying out some of the local foods and giving me a chance to play with the stuff at home before we come in here. So,
yeah, that was fun. It was a good learning experience for me. I've always been interested in doing those sorts of things, but I've never done it before. So it was totally, I got a few tips from a fellow at Butcher's Block and a couple emails with my uncle, and I just went for it, and they turned out pretty well. So
yeah, I have to agree, they were wonderful today. We did them with a little applesauce and some caramelized onions and bacon,
And Swiss char,
and yeah, just sort of worked all together on the plate today. So
yeah, I'm still full.
You have to check out some of the photos of the food, and maybe I'll try and get some recipes up shortly.
Yeah, for sure, that's great. What's been going on with you, John?
Well, I guess you could start with my morning today. I kind of got back involved with the Chefs Association. So we were actually doing a bit of a bottle drive at Crown Isle today. We sort of have a commitment to raise some funds for bursaries for upcoming cooks or junior chefs, as we like to call them. And so we were doing, we had a bunch of junior chefs with us and brought my truck down there. And Leslie, our president, was down there and quite a few others. And we loaded up with as many bottles as we could from Crown Isle, took them down to recycling. And So, yeah, we're putting that money towards bursaries and events for the Chefs Association. So that was
cool.
a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
We had our meeting last night at Crown Isle again,
mm-hmm.
Which was quite exciting. We had Dennis Green from GO2, which is the human resource end of the tourism industry in British Columbia. And we basically had an opportunity to sit down and talk to him about apprenticeships sort of go into a little more depth about what hours were you could put towards doing your apprenticeship. There's three levels in your apprenticeship. And so he was sort of giving examples of what you could use, what you couldn't use, how you can use those hours to get in your final goal of your Red Seal. So it was quite an interesting conversation, and he was able to answer a lot of questions that a lot of people had about leaving town, and working out of province and working in other countries, how they could use those hours and what sponsors, as like myself being a sponsor, what I expect out of the people that I'm apprenticing. So
Yeah, because that's the hardest part of an apprenticeship is making sure your hours are counted.
Yeah.
And people in the industry move around so much that you want to make sure that as an apprentice, you're knowledgeable in where your hours will count and who you can work for and who you can't work for,
yeah,
as far as your apprenticeship hours counting.
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, as an apprentice, you're responsible for keeping track of your hours,
right?
And bringing it to your sponsor and making sure they sign off on you. So,
right.
Yeah, and then just moving people up, you know, making them better off. So
yeah,
it was quite interesting. So it was a great sit down meeting for us. So
wonderful.
And that's that's pretty much me. Yeah. I mean,
I went out mushroom hunting on Saturday morning. It was pretty poor.
They're not ready. Oh, need a couple more rain.
And then it's getting frosty, and I don't know. I'm not having too high hopes about the mushroom season.
Yes. You know, give it a couple of weeks. I think we'll get some nice rains in, and then
yeah, it's bound to warm up once it starts raining. So,
and our plan is to get a group together to go out on a little mushroom expedition.
Yeah,
I know we've had a few past guests ask us to
take them out
with us. So
there's not much point in doing anything for a while, just not having any luck with that, with the weather. Although it's great if you enjoy the sunshine and. I mean, it's been nice not having to work in the rain or anything, so.
Perfect.
That's good.
Excellent. A break. All right. So I guess we should get on to one of the main topics, and what we really like to chat about is, and one of the reasons we really enjoy having Hans here is because he actually probably got to see most of it. Actually, you yourself did too.
Yeah, I got to see quite a bit too.
Yeah, I kind of missed out on quite a bit of it because I was hunched over at a table doing nori rolls.
Yeah, a lot of nori rolls.
A lot of nori rolls. I probably did about 800. But we want to talk about flavor. I think this was a huge event for the Comox Valley, and just wanted to know how you felt about it.
I wrote about it for UrbanDiner.ca, Vancouver-based online publication, and as I was writing about it, I mean, I've been around here a long time, and it just felt like something that was supposed to happen. You know, we had a great event several years ago. I don't know if you guys were here for when Chef Ronald did the big event at Tanitas Farms. In the middle of summer?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
It was a very, very cool feast in the fields. We sat down to have this huge feast that a lot of restaurants were part of. But the time wasn't right. So when Beth and Avery from North Island College came and talked to Ann Lee and myself, who've been running a Facebook page called Eating and Drinking in the Comox Valley.
Yep.
About a year ago, they talked to the Chefs Association already and the Farmers Market, so they'd gotten some support already. But my take on it was this community is so fractured and does not do well. We don't do well at pulling in the same direction. We've got lots of talent, but we kind of like going our own ways.
Right.
So when I walked, and then I signed on as a social media sponsor because I was excited about it and I wanted to see it happen, but nothing... Like when we crested the hill, like we could hear the hum, mm-hmm. you know, but it was amazing. It was just like who they had there. It was so well organized. And like I've heard nothing but good stuff about it. It was really exciting.
Yeah, I haven't gotten much feedback personally from anybody, but just the feel of being there. Everybody is smiling. I mean, I've never seen so many happy people in one place. Nobody was grumbling. Everybody was just so happy to be there, and people complaining that they were getting too much food and they were full and they couldn't fit any more in.
I guess
there's still more booths to hit up, and
that was the biggest complaint, I think, that there was too much food.
Yeah,
I think if you could put a negativity against this, it would have been that there was just too much good food to sample. So.
Well, you know, I think maybe people here aren't ready for that. I mean, people who've been going to the Vancouver Island Feast of Fields have had 15 years to, you know how to pace themselves over 4 hours of eating.
Sure, yeah.
Whereas here, it's like, whoa, it's food. Open the floodgates and go for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the portions were small. I mean, if you looked at just one booth and saw the portions, you'd think, well, how am I going to do that, right? So maybe people were just a little bit greedy. I don't know, but
maybe, yeah.
I, you know, paced myself. At the end of the day, I was pleasantly full. Mm-hmm. The week before, I'd been at Feast of Fields, and I thought I'd paced myself. But I picked one plum off the tree on the way out, and it was as if I was going to burst. I mean, it's funny. You know, you just eat little things for 4 hours, and it accumulates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I made the mistake of actually having my wife walk behind me And she said, okay, it's 20 minutes till this ends. So if you want to sample stuff, you got to sample stuff. And so I got to the first booth and I started chatting, and then I felt that arm on my back just pushing me. So, so I'd get to the next booth and I'd get a little bite and I'd start into on a conversation. I'd feel that hand push me again. So I managed to make my way all the way around. And near the end there, I went past the 4 o'clock deadline.
Right.
But I was definitely collecting as I went along as people, oh, you still haven't tried this yet? And yeah. And for me, 20 minutes to eat everything
That would have been hard.
That was too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed it. There were some fabulous dishes there. So.
So what was your favorite dish?
You know what?
Or your favorite taste. I mean,
you know what? I really loved Kingfisher. Had that chocolate, was it a mousse cheesecake sort of deal? And that was...
On a crispy wafer.
That crispy wafer. That's what kind of just boom, hit me. And I was like, that was fabulous. So, mind you, I loved all the pepperonis and that up at the butcher's.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm always a sucker for oven, wood-baked pizza ovens, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's my...
Well, I polled people. Like I came with a group of. I often hang around with a number of women friends. I've called them the Girls Who Love Good Grub Club. We end up eating out a lot together, and they have lots of opinions about food, which is great for me as a writer. I just
feed off.
I just sit down and ask them questions, and I've got lots of great copy.
Mm-hmm.
So afterwards, I polled all of them. I actually had made a little form, and I asked a number of other people as well. And the Kingfisher chocolate meltingly, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
One other one that came up was the Innisfree Farm. They had a frozen raspberry melted on chocolate and something else, and one of my friends couldn't decide which was better, so she put them together, and that was the perfect dessert.
Oh.
But yeah, there was lots of great sweet stuff. It was just and the sweets are not usually my thing, but that Kingfisher one, it was good. How about you, Blaine? What was your favorite savory?
I really, tell you the truth, didn't eat that much while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was wandering around talking to people, and I just didn't. I didn't get in lineups to sample very much.
Was there somebody that knew that you hadn't seen before there? Like any vendors?
All sorts of new people there. Yeah. Well, like you said, the people with the pepperonis
What were the wandering moose?
The smoking moose?
Yes.
The
wandering moose is the Cumberland Coffee Shop.
But it's something moose.
Yeah.
Right.
The fat moose.
The fat moose.
Yes, this is that's it.
It was one of my former employees works up there, actually.
Yeah.
So.
I hadn't. So John has mentioned those guys before, but I hadn't seen them.
Did you have the bear sausage?
I didn't actually eat any sausage. There was too much of a lineup, and I just was just walking around. So there was, I don't know. Yeah, there was just tons of new things there that people from outside of the valley and.
Well, that's what I loved about it. I mean, that was what it was about, right? It was like a lot of people who are in the nooks and crannies. I mean, you, Jonathan, know some of them because you source stuff from them, or like you said, a former staff member. But for lots of us, it's like there's so much amazing stuff happening at a low level, like small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really liked what how the North Island College Foundation team managed to get so many amazing little bits of, I don't know, exotic food. Like, I mean, exotic in terms of stuff that I hadn't thought about, or I didn't know was happening out there. And some of the pairings were great,
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how some people like I know Jerry Patterson, really, like the only person he wanted to really pair with was Ronald, and they have this great relationship that goes back years. I interviewed. Jerry a while ago, I'm sure he said the same things to you guys. Just he just has such an admiration for what Ronald is doing there, and that's who he wanted to work with.
Right.
Who did you guys pair with?
We did the BC Wild Seafood,
right?
Which is a local fisherman, Lyle Pierce, and his wife run a seafood company, I guess, and so they sell salmon and tuna, and they have halibut and lots of other things. So. But I've ended up picking up their salmon. Just it's beautiful fish. It's nice fat. you know, thick sockeye salmon, so you can't go wrong. But mm-hmm. yeah, and it's nice to have that local partnership, you know. I mean, he's fishing all up and down the coast, but it's just nice to have, you know, that connection with the actual guy who's going out there mm-hmm. and fishing it. I don't know if every fish that he brings me is fish he's caught, but it's stuff that is coming from his processor out to us. So
he's putting his name on it, so.
Yeah. Right, you know, and I want to make a little bit of a segue here, because it's something that's come up for me a lot recently is, you know, most people that I talk to don't understand why food in restaurants, you know, costs what it does. And they'll complain. And then the same with the farmer's market, they'll complain about pricing and stuff. And for me, it's as plain as the flavor. You know, if I walk into, you know, one of the handful of great restaurants in this community, it tastes good. Mm-hmm. And most of that is because the food comes from here. Yeah. It hasn't traveled. You know, I don't know if like farming with love makes a difference, but certainly fresh makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go to another restaurant where the price point isn't that much different than from the places that I love to go. And it doesn't taste, you know, it just mm-hmm. isn't there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something that, you know, the event was called Flavor because flavor is a great word. But it really is, I think, you know, like the closer you can get to the source, whether it's, you know, this, your BC Wild Seafood, is that what it was?
Yes.
You know, or Tanitas Farms. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just, it tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to spend money on food, I like food. I don't mm-hmm. eat food just for fuel. I eat food because I like what happens in my mouth, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So it's if it costs me a little bit more, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the flavor and the freshness of the local product, and there's so much variety that we have in the Comox Valley that you don't really need to go too far away unless, you know, you like exotic fruits and things, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you have to travel a long ways, I think, before you find, relatively speaking, before you find what we're blessed with here in terms of, you know, great food producers and some great restaurants, you know, mm-hmm. great chefs. Or people who are doing good stuff with, like, well, food artisans, that's what I call it. You know, like, people who know how to do the stuff. Like, it's, there's not many to the north of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go a little way south before you, you know, run into the same kind of thing. And,
right.
You know, I'm happy to see that there seem to be some restaurants happening in Nanaimo, like, more than there were. There was, like, almost nothing for a long time.
I got into that box store thing and a lot of chain restaurants down there, so the independent places were having the issue of, you know, keeping up and hitting that price point, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more expensive to do everything yourself from scratch, and it's a lot more time to do it. So.
And we seem to have, you know, some acceptance of that here. I mean, it's amazing mm-hmm. how many restaurants we've got here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this town's definitely grown. And I see the talent pool increasing sort of mm-hmm. day by day. For me, when I moved away and I went down to Victoria and I was cooking down there, I mean, I think Victoria is an amazing mm-hmm. culinary area. Like, you've got some fabulous restaurants and you've got fabulous talent down there. But I kind of just was looking around going, this is nice, but the same stuff's back home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I had the opportunity to come back for the Atlas, that was like... done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there was no second thoughts about it. It's like, let's go back and let's really showcase what we have here. So it's been a lot of fun for me just to grab everything, you know, whether you hit the beach and, you know, get some shellfish, or whether you're sitting down there at the market and hitting the farms. And I think the farms have really exploded in this mm-hmm. community,
mm-hmm.
especially with our farmers market, which
and people are getting educated to what is available here and how much better local food is, that it's starting, you know, the spinoffs are starting to happen and the farms are starting to feed off that and build their exposure, and it just creates a snowball effect. And then you get food podcasts and things like that.
Media going about promoting it. So yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I don't know how deep your roots are in this valley. Were both of you born here?
I was. John moved here when you were 5.
Yeah. I mean, I've always grown up in this area. My parents had a cabin on Hornby, so I was always, from 6 months, always, like, connected to this area. So.
Right. Yeah.
And how far back do you go,
Blaine? Oh, right from birth and
couple generations.
Great grandparents, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, similar, not quite as deep, but my grandparents were pioneers in Black Creek.
Okay.
So they came and they farmed here. And,
yeah.
You know, I grew up with like big, huge gardens and my grandmother selling, you know, even at old age, had a little stand beside the Highland Highway with, you know, strawberries and raspberries and stuff like that. And so growing food is just what happens here. I mean, people have been doing it for a long time and we used to grow a lot more of our own food.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see this. You know, it's been happening for a while, but it's nice to see what's happening. Like this past summer, I think has been a pretty special one, and I think flavor is a really nice exclamation point on that.
Like, yeah, absolutely. I know for myself, this year just everything came together for me, and I just got super excited about local food, and it's kind of changed my whole mindset. It's unreal. So, but it feels good. I've eaten a lot of neat food, and I've met so many cool people in the last 6 or 8 months, and
flavor was definitely that sort of finishing completion of a good busy summer for many of the people down there, I think. So
they sold out like 3 weeks plus, or about 3 weeks before the event. They had 700 people on site, or even more, between 700 and 800 people on site. But that's just, so how many people are in the valley? What have we got here? 60, 80,000, something like that?
Probably bigger, 80,000.
So, that, you know, that's just a little part of that market. You know, how many people are eating locals is what I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also been interesting, just to see, like, how many more people are talking about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing a lot of work around land use as well as food stuff several years ago, so I just started a Facebook page called Sustainable Food Vancouver Island, just as a way to capture a bunch of thoughts and ideas around, you know, food, sustainable land uses, food sustainability on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just let it sit. I didn't do a lot of work on that. I just kind of created it and let it go. And it's amazing. Like, there's almost 3,000 people there who are really chatting a lot about those kind of issues on the length and breadth of the island.
Hmm.
So it really, you know, the time, like, it's there's lots of fun stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's an evolution in people's thinking. Like, people are starting to get away from the globalization idea and bringing it back into a community level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's happening right here. We've all seen it. We've all just been talking about that. It's coming back and people are appreciating local things, and so
well, this is a great time to segue into some of the stuff you're doing with social media and stuff like that. I think it's an opportunity, like, with you have several accounts out there, and you've kind of got your hand in a little bit of everything going on there, especially in the food industry. So
I came back here after being, you know, I mean, I went to school and did something that's totally unmarketable, you know, didn't get a chef's ticket, right, which I could have done something with this stuff here. So I've been kind of inventing things. I got back to the Valley almost 25 years ago. It's just been like, how do I live in this place and be creative about it? And so, you know, I'm a writer, I'm a photographer. A few years ago, I just, because my kids were involved in Facebook, I started to Facebook. And then was suggested by a colleague to start playing with Twitter and other things, and for a while was an online editor for a client newsletter, and at the same time it started to write for Eat magazine, and then these things just started to come together. It was like, you know, these are tools to, for me, a lot of it was like learning how to use the tools to connect with people, to do research, and then as a way to do promotion, to promote what I was doing.
Right.
And the food one, I mean, I work on a bunch of different projects. You know, the food area is only one of, you know, close to a half a dozen project areas, but it's probably the one that I've got the most passion for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love to cook. I love to make cocktails. I do what I can to learn more about that stuff. And a lot of it comes, you know, via the internet or via conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And then I create content around that. So I've learned as I've gone along. And one of the things that has struck me is how in this really creative and rich community, we haven't, I don't think, done a very good job of telling our food story. So, you know, when you guys started doing the Edible Valley podcast, it was like, wow, that's, you know, the time was right for mm-hmm. you guys, but it was, and it's great. My question was like, why haven't the people who, you know, have been involved in promoting this area figured some of the stuff out and found ways to support this kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue for me in terms of community sustainability, we've used a lot of our natural resources. We've squandered them. I mean, that's, you know, we had one of the richest Douglas fir zones in the world, and right. that's pretty much gone. I mean, we've got some great second growth, but that, mm-hmm. that, you know, 1,000-year-old forest is gone. And, you know, the fishing has changed dramatically in the last generation. What we've got left here is the food that we've got a great food tourism economy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens because of people like, you know, Sandra and Trent, like Ronald, like a handful of restaurateurs out there who are working really, really hard, have attracted, you know, some great chefs, work with great local producers, but we're still in the dark, well, not the dark ages, but we're still, like, you know, I think 5 or 10 years behind in terms of our promotion. When I look at what happens down island, and
right.
you don't have to look very far to see that, you know, some communities really have got some of the stuff figured out, and they've got some social media infrastructure as well as traditional media. I mean, it's not just, you know, one, you've got, if you're going to promote, you have to use all the tools out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the larger centers, the food conversation happens on Twitter. You know,
right.
If you're a restaurant, you're selling food, if you've got a food cart, if you've got a market booth, whatever, you're letting people know via Twitter where you are, what you're serving, when it's being served.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got people who are watching this stuff and responding and asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came into Kamloops this spring, and I'm on the way up there, and my mom lives in Kamloops. I've been going to Kamloops for 30 years. I really don't even know that town. Like, I don't. So I just thought, well, I'll ask on Twitter, like, what should I be doing in Kamloops? And I tagged, you know, hashtag the pound symbol thing, Kamloops, right? And within a half an hour, I had a response from their tourism function, you know, like a bunch of things that were happening and that, you know.
Right.
This lone Twitter guy, you know,
yeah.
they responded. And, I mean, then everybody else, of course, who might follow them or follow me or whatever, you know, would see that. But, and through them, I got hooked up with what was considered to be the premier restaurant in Kamloops, the Brownstoner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start chatting with the restaurant, you know, about, like, what they do and all that stuff via Twitter.
Right.
You know, as we're traveling to there, right?
Right.
And then we arrive at my mom's place, and she says, oh, by the way, I've just, you know, booked us. We're going to the Brownstoner tomorrow for dinner. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I want to see that happen here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just talking to somebody in a restaurant downtown today. I said, you know, this is our town is a print town. You know, most people still get their, I shouldn't say most people, most people who have disposable income, so a certain age,
right,
get their news via the local print.
Right,
that's great, but there's a whole audience, not just in town, but outside of town, that we could be attracting and having conversations with and getting them here. And
agreed.
They're not going to read the local paper.
No,
as important as that is, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those people who are like saying, I'm just flying into YQQ or I'm just flying into Comox, you know.
Where do I go?
And they may not even be asking where are they going. They're just saying, because this is what people do on social media, but particularly Twitter, they just say things like, just landed in Comox, you know,
mm-hmm.
going to meet my uncle or something like that. Well, you know, if I was running a bar or a restaurant and I saw that somebody landed in Comox at the airport, I would immediately send them a tweet saying, welcome to Comox. You know, drop in and say hi to Hans at Hank's Bar and Grill,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a welcoming gesture,
right.
but also as like, all of a sudden they're like, wow, there's like a living, breathing human being who's actually like made contact with me.
Right.
I mean, how attractive is that? You don't know a soul in town except for your Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
And there's somebody saying,
come have a drink.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, you know, like, a lot of this stuff is just basic hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when we've got visitors or we've got people, you know, close to our area, I think we would do well to say, come on down.
Mm-hmm. You know,
if somebody tweets something about Campbell River, that they just flew into Campbell River Airport, welcome to Campbell River. Right. Take a drive down to the Comox Valley. You know, we'll... We've got great, you know, salmon tonight, thanks to BC Wild Seafood, you know,
mm-hmm.
At the Atlas. Like that kind of like, or, and this was the example that I, a couple of years ago I did. We have Comox Valley Dine around here, or we have had, or, you know, we never, it kind of shows up for a month in the wintertime. And just south of us in the Oceanside, they have got a one-weekend event called Parksville Uncorked. It's a one-weekend event. It's a bit more intense than our one-month thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tracked them, you know, both events online, and I just watched, you know, who was saying what and where it was coming from. And the folks down there had done a really great job of connecting to people in Vancouver who like to travel for food. I mean, there is a, mm-hmm. you know, I ran into somebody at Flavor. I took a picture of a young couple and... Where are you from? We're from we came up here from Vancouver for this event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how many people did that.
Right.
I don't know who's tracking that, but but that's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching the Parksville Qualicum event, and I'm just seeing all of this conversation happening online from people from out of Parksville area coming to there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw virtually nothing for our area, for our event. And that got me thinking, like, I want to change that. Like, I want to make sure that when we do a Flavor event, when we do Dine Around, when we do any kind of big food event, we should be reaching out to people online outside of our region and saying, you know, come visit.
Well, I liked what you said. We were at that, Comox Valley, website meeting, and you stood up there and said, you know, like, Facebook, use it. Like, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to showcase yourself, and people are watching. They may not respond to it right away, but they're actually seeing it. So just putting on what's going on or where you went out is huge in that media circle. So I thought that was actually something that we should all be doing, is, you know, talking about ourselves, sort of being ambassadors to our own home. And
well, that was the conversation, right? It was being ambassadors, and the idea was to physically visit all the venues, which is a great thing. But yeah, I'll underline that, you know, like every time somebody does a Twitter post from Atlas or a Facebook check-in or a Foursquare check-in or takes a photograph and posts it to Instagram, somebody new finds out about what's happening at your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may only be one person. It may be, you may reach a few people who haven't been for a while, but just that low level, keeping that conversation alive or that chatter alive is part of the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that came up at the meeting that was really interesting was the restaurant and the hospitality people there. They were wanting, you know, they want the reviews. They want the reviews to get out. They want people to see the reviews. And I think, you know, places like Twitter and Facebook are already excellent review mechanisms. I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was some discussion there about creating another platform. And I think until we, you know, I don't see that need. What I see is like that people here basically need some coaching on how to use the tools we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to work with growers, with chefs, you know, bartenders, and show them how to use these shiny toys that we have in our hands, these smartphones. You know, take a picture. If you're a grower, and you've got a box of, you know, colorful beets that you're taking to market or that you're taking to a restaurant in town, take that picture. Post it to Instagram. Tell people where it's going. You know, you don't have, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do it, your kid or your cousin or your uncle or your girlfriend or somebody actually does.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so that's, you know, that's part of what I'm selling is that service. It's like, okay, I'll walk around with you. You're a chef. I'll go shopping with you.
Right.
We'll run through, you know, what I would do. You know, I'll post. I'll show you how to post. Maybe we'll have to do it a couple times, but then at least once a week, show us what you are making.
Right.
You know, don't just tell us. Don't just, you know, have your fancy, great website, which is really important, which gives us the, you know, the language. Show us a picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard online. Pull that phone out there and not drop it in the soup. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're recently, we've just started up something for the month of October, promotion.
Right. So, thank you. You know, one of the ways to get attention here is to generate traffic, right? To have other people generating traffic. So it's not just being a push from me or a push from Avenue Bistro, for example, or from locals or wherever it might be coming from, but to have people, other people generating content.
Mm-hmm.
So for the flavor event, we had a little contest where people actually had to make a picture and then and post that along with some words. And the idea was there that, you know, just generating pictures, and I really believe that pictures are like the best storytelling that we've got going on there. Like right now, there are more Instagram users right now than there are Twitter users.
Okay.
Like it's, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
or in the U.S. Anyway.
Instagram's pretty new too, isn't it?
I heard Instagram is for people who can't read.
They can't read, but they have money in their pocket. Yes. And a lot of what's happening on there is about food.
Right. Yeah, totally.
So, I'm sorry, I do this. I kind of ramble on and I forgot your question.
The promotion for the month of October.
Right. Yeah. So, we did a promo for Vancouver Island Feast of Fields, which was a Twitter thing, and that was trying to get people to use Twitter to tell the story about Vancouver Island food, and then it was the photo one with flavor to get photographs. And so for what I like to do for the next year, and I've got some really nice restaurants lined up, starting with Union Street Grill, then Avenue Bistro, then Atlas, then Locals, talking to Angler's Dining Room in Campbell River, possibly the BC Shellfish Festival. To every month, if you play the game, you can win a $100 gift certificate to one of these restaurants.
Right.
And the promo isn't, the game isn't about featuring that restaurant. I'm not going to say I want, you know, take pictures of Chef Jonathan and his team to win the Atlas Prize. It's more generic because I want to celebrate what's happening in local food, in the food sector on Vancouver Island, period. Mm-hmm. So for the first one, we've just asked people to tell us three words about your local food hero on Vancouver Island. Tell us the town, the name, the town, the, you know, if it's a restaurant or a farm or whatever it is, some words, and then tag it with, because this is for Twitter as well as Facebook, is, you know, the pound symbol, local here, local food hero, all one word.
Right.
And so I'm watching this. We're going to collect all kinds of comments for a month, and then at the end of the month, I'll take what I consider to be the best ones. And we're not just looking for, we're not going to be a drawing of the hat thing because I want people to produce some kind of quality. So I want a little bit of a story. And you're limited on Twitter with that, with 140 characters. So you have to be really creative. Or you post a photograph or you post a video or something like that. And those things are going to, you know, raise the quality quotient in there, definitely.
Right.
So and then I'll have somebody else have a look at what I consider to be the top tweets and or posts, and they'll go for it. Already there's some great stuff happening on Facebook. And
I was really impressed with some of the comments that people have been making about their heroes, and it's from servers to baristas and a little bit of everything. I know I sent one in there for my boss. Give him a little. He's some kind of my food hero, right? So.
Well, you know, that was great to see that because, and I totally agree with what you said. I think, and I didn't really look at on the island side, but certainly what Trent and Sandra have done with did with Atlas and now with Avenue, but certainly with Atlas was change. It changed the scene in the Comox Valley dramatically. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, like it was just how we understood food and how we enjoyed it and how and service, like just it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So but I hadn't heard about I hadn't thought about it in terms of an island thing, so I was curious about your where like, because you actually said that he has influenced on the island.
I think he's definitely changed it. I mean, and when I was in Victoria and I applied for the job here, I was working at a little restaurant down there that I was working with the Coast Guard Auxiliary at the time. My team or my crew that I was on, you know, I told them about this restaurant I got a job at, and they're like, never heard about it. I'm like, it's in James Bay. It's right downtown. It's not that far. And they're like, oh, we just don't eat it at that kind of place. Anyways, I tell them that about a year later, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to leave the crew. I'm moving up to Courtney. I've got a job at the Atlas Cafe. And it was almost like the Atlas Cafe. Everyone in that room knew about the Atlas Cafe. And we're like, oh, we always stop there. Every time we go up to Mount Washington, we go up skiing. That's the place we go to afterwards. Or, you know, and so it had already established itself down there as a place to go. So, yeah, it was kind of exciting. And that's how I kind of see how it's kind of broadened its visibility on Vancouver Island.
And I, you know, I don't know if it's directly related, but I just had a very quick chat with Chef Garrett Shack at the Chef Garrett Shack shucking oysters. I want to play with that, but and he made some comment about just how this place is set to go. Mm-hmm. Like the Comox Valley is like just. That's his impression from
and
down
he's
there.
He's set to go too because he's just started his Yum TV with CTV actually.
So
that'd be an interesting program to watch. And he's from one of the former restaurants I used to work at, the Vista 18.
Oh, yeah?
So,
well, right. So you know, it just like I'm inside this thing, and I feel like it's great, the Comox Valley. So it's really nice to hear that up from outside, like that other people are saying that. I think we'll be going down to the James Barber fundraising dinner at Providence Farm this weekend, and I'm really looking forward. I'm one of the questions I have is just like how do people see the Comox Valley? You know, like are they? I'm really curious about where we are on the radar.
Is this in Victoria?
It's in Duncan.
Duncan, okay, yeah.
That sounds like another interesting event, actually.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, they just had Vancouver on Feast of Fields in the same community, like, 2 weeks ago, or a week, yeah, two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it again. It's like, whoa, but much bigger population base down there.
That's right, true. Yeah. It's not so far from people from Victoria to head out.
But, you know, we should be doing, like, I think we should be targeting Calgary for that. I mean, you know, Calgary's close.
Yeah,
you know, it's closer than Vancouver.
Yeah, and there's a lot of money in Calgary.
There's a lot of money there. A lot of people who like to eat out.
You
know,
Calgary.
So
I was told by a gentleman once that the Atlas Cafe was the favorite restaurant of
in Calgary.
Red Deer.
Oh, Red Deer.
That was the most talked about restaurant in Red Deer. All right,
that's
you just
funny.
Want a free meal. I know that. But
yeah, so. So to go back to the social media and promotion, that's what this is about, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think we need to have like the official kind of promotional channels and stuff. But on the restaurant and the grower side, I want to see more of what you're doing, Jonathan. You know, I'd like to see, like in the big cities, lots of bartenders have Twitter handles. Mm-hmm. And they're tweeting about what they're doing. They're, you know, like, where am I going to go for a drink tonight? Well, I'll look at my, you know, cast of bartenders here who are online, and I'll see what they're serving or what they're talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with the chefs and you know, take pictures of your food. Talk to me online, even if it's just, you know, like, what are you excited about cooking tonight? You know, like, you know, if it's halibut season, then, you know, the first day when the halibut comes in, I want to hear about some exciting dish. I want you to be like tempting me to come down there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because no one can tell it like you do. And you're giving content for other people, you know. For those of us who write about food, we'll take that and we'll spin it, and, you know, we'll weave something together out of that, and we'll get, you know, more stuff happening. But it starts with producers, you know, the food artists, you know, generating something, a picture, a few words. You know, I would love to have Jerry Pattison out there with a smartphone taking pictures of, you know, some of this project. I don't imagine it's going to happen anytime soon.
Probably not. See that, but
but you never know.
Someone to follow him.
Yeah.
But people like that, right? I mean, yeah. I mean Jerry understands marketing, and you know, there's a lot of, what I'm amazed at is how many young farmers there are in the valley. Like, yeah. I don't get it. Like, how are you doing it? You know, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a lot of hard work, and there's not a lot of money in it. And but anyway, beside that, some of those people are doing a really good job of posting about their stuff. You know,
like, well, they understand the technology.
Yeah, well, like one of those people is Arzina Hamir at Amara Farms. I mean, she just, you know, she's really smart. I mean, that's how we met, was through Twitter. We were at an event in Vancouver, a Will Allen food related event, and she came up to me and said, you know, I've been following you. We've been retweeting each other's tweets around this thing, and, and I'm moving to the Comox Valley. And since then, I've, you know, got pictures of her and her kids with garlic and squashes.
Yeah, Arzina's a good friend of the show, yeah, for sure. She's past guest and will be a guest again, yeah. I'm sure, in the near future. So
she's, you know, she's showing what can be done, I think, on the producer side in terms of social media, you know, like just talking about stuff. Probably could use more pictures, you know, but that's, some people are shy about that kind of stuff, you know. excuse me, I've actually created a service called eatdrinkmedia.ca, which is about, you know, helping growers and restaurants learn how to do some of the stuff. Like, I don't want to do it for you, but I'd like to be teaching people and coaching people on how to do that stuff. And the picture that I'm using is just a great example of some of the of marketing. The people at Nature's Way Farm, they had at the market booth, they had their little box of they were selling blueberries, right? And their son had just quickly scrawled a sign with, you know, marker, "Try me," and put out a box of blueberries. And I just love this picture. And I just love that. It was like, once you taste this stuff, how can you not want to buy me? You know? And it was very clever. I mean, I took the picture and I took it places. The next step would have been to do that. And then for him or his dad to have gone, wow, brilliant, you know, take the picture, post it, make it happen.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Well, I think we're just about at our time limit here, so we should probably wrap this up. But thanks for coming in, Hans, and giving us
thank you for asking me questions and giving me lots of airtime.
No problem.
We've learned lots, actually, I think. So.
Yeah, and we found that most people we've brought in who have knowledge in a subject, it's no problem for them to talk and fill us in and give us information. So, yeah, it's very good. Okay, so upcoming events in the Comox Valley. This weekend coming up is the Foggy Mountain Fall Fair in Cumberland.
It's got the Cumberland's Famous Pie of the Year contest. I think that's the...
Yeah, I'm actually a judge in that.
Oh, are
you a judge in that?
Yeah, and I was a judge last year, too. It was amazing. Like, if you like pie, this is the event, because it isn't just like sweet pies. There were incredible range of pies. It was daunting because we had to taste every one of them.
Right.
So I'll be doing that again, and then I'll be hosting my family Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm.
Oh yeah,
kind of like, how am I going to do this?
It's going to be a good weekend for you.
I going to eat all these pies and then have dinner, you know?
I'm sure we'll see lots of pictures on Twitter if you follow Hans on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I'll be trying to take pictures of every pie that that comes across our table.
Fantastic.
Sounds great. Be looking forward to seeing that.
So I'll make a note, the winning pie last year had a hazelnut like a filbert, you know, hazelnut crust, and it was a potato onion pie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Sounds very delicious.
It was very good.
Beautiful.
Next week on Tuesday, the World Community Film Festival begins at the North Island College Theater.
Right.
At 7:30, it's a film called Edible City, and I believe it's about urban agriculture and the people who are making it happen.
Perfect.
So I'm pretty interested. I think I'm going to go check that out. I haven't been to one of the World Community events, but
mm-hmm.
Wayne Bradley, one of the organizers, invited me to participate, so I'm going to go have a look.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. October 20th is International Chef's Day.
That's right. Go out and thank your chefs, your local chefs. I think last year we did chocolates with the Chefs Association. We decided this year that flavor was so much that we may just take it easy and actually, as chefs, relax a little bit and kind of just enjoy the day.
Yeah.
Annual Chef Relaxation Day?
Yeah. Annual, yes. We'll still be working, but not as hard, maybe.
Yeah. October 25th, Top 40 Under 40 Gala Awards and Dance at Crown Isle.
Yes.
That's a new event for the Comox Valley, a new sort of initiative to
showcase some of the
younger talented people around.
That's right.
They're doing important things, so
should be a great dinner. I will be there.
Yes, you will. Also on the 25th of October, Kim Bannerman, author from Cumberland, told me about this Childhaven fundraiser. Childhaven raises funds for orphanages in third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
So for more information, go to childhaven.ca and find out a little bit more about that. North Island Junior Chef Competition, November 19th. You know anything about that, John?
They're having a Junior Hots competition. So they're looking for junior chefs to sign up and compete in creating a dish up there. I haven't actually read over the rules, but it's going to be much like the BC Junior competition. So
is it a black box or
no? It's you create your own dish, and
oh, okay.
And you're kind of there's a judging panel that sort of watches you as you work,
mm-hmm.
and judges you and gives you points on how you prepare things and how you keep your station going and if you make mistakes. And then there's another panel that checks to see if your food is of any good quality.
Right.
And so where's this happening?
This will be at North Island College on the 19th, which is Monday.
In Campbell River?
In Campbell River, right. Yeah. And so they're just putting the final details together, and I think you'd probably be able to find out on either the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association Facebook in the next few days and on the website, hopefully, about how to sign up for that, to be a part of it. So I know there's an email going out.
Can the public sign up to taste stuff? Or
I'm not 100% sure. I don't think it is. I think mm-hmm. it's more of just the judges that will be doing it. And so this is more looking for junior chefs to get in there. So this could be some of the future talent, you know, people that would be replacing me in a few years. So
yeah.
So not that old yet, do you guys talk about things that are happening at restaurants, special events and stuff like that?
We definitely, if you know of any events that are happening right now.
Well, I know that this is a bit out of this area, but there is the Providence Farms James Barber fundraising dinner in Duncan on October 7th, I believe. Then on that same weekend, Locals is doing their special Thanksgiving meal all weekend.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And at the end of the month, on Halloween night, Locals is doing a murder mystery gourmet dinner at Blue Moon Winery.
Oh, cool.
Friend of mine is organizing a Beauty and the Feast on Thanksgiving weekend. So there's more information on Facebook about that at the Eating and Drinking Comox Valley page. An Angler's Dining Room, which is a lot. People down here don't know about Anglers. Do you guys know about Anglers?
No,
I truly don't.
Someone who I really respect around food in Campbell River said described Angler's Dining Room as the hidden jewel of fine dining in Campbell River. I'm glad they have a hidden jewel because it's quite cozy. And the food is delicious. Chef Joe Volk has been there for a couple of 3 years now, and I love what he does. They're hosting a beer pairing Comfort Foods with a Twist on October 26th and 27th. So a five-course menu pairs with Victoria's Phillips Brewing Company.
That sounds delicious.
And then at the very end of the month, Chef Aaron Rail is hosting another One Big Table event at Avenue Bistro. So that's the last Monday of October.
John heard about that.
I did. I heard about that last night, actually.
I've gone to. Have you guys been to those?
No. I actually cooked one. So
you cooked one.
I
yeah.
did that one that I paired up with Aaron, which was it was a lot of fun. Actually,
it is. I've been to a couple of them. They're just so great. It's very social. Lots of great food.
It's a beautiful idea of that one table and just everyone sitting down together and just experiencing it together. So yeah,
it'd be good.
And then in early November. And November 3rd is the two events that night, actually, here in the Comox Valley. I have to do with food. One is the 11th Annual Wine Fest at Crown Isle. That's always not only a great showcase for wine, but the kitchen there usually puts on some great appetizers. I'm not sure what's up for this year, but it's a United Way fundraiser. And at the same night, Tria Culinary or Tria Fine Catering we'll be doing the food at the Comox Valley Art Gallery's first masquerade fundraiser. So good food to be had there, too.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for that input, Hans.
Yes.
And I think that's about it for this episode.
That's been a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get our half an hour, but we got an hour.
All right, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations of money or food to help us with the operating costs of the podcast or to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed, at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you'd like us to have on the show, ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.